This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Visitors, you know, pressed against their Louvre's iron gates on in fact, it was yesterday. You know, they were peering through bars locked after thieves pulled off a daylight jewel heist inside their world-famous museum the day before. I don't know whether the movie that's going to be in the works very soon, because I know that happens, you know, in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be French job or what?
I hear you.
Yeah, it's going to be friend jobs. Yeah, look out for that one. I'm telling you, in no time, there will be stories about a movie in the works. Yeah.
No, definitely. And talking about, you know, some of these world-renowned museums and these other places that turn to be tourist attraction, have you ever wondered what qualifies a museum to be a tourist attraction? We've seen many museums, but clearly when it comes to tourists, certain museums are preferred over others. It's the same with cliffs and other tourist attractions that we see all around the world. We're talking this morning to political analyst and lecturer Lieto Brigar, who's joining us, wearing a different cap this morning.
Yeah.
Welcome. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great.
We love versatile people. So let's look at, you know, this issue. Is it a matter of marketing and PR that decides which museums and stories are worth being considered as tourist attractions, or is there a genuine way that is used to scale the significance of a particular piece of art and history and its worthiness for us to come to a point where we say, you know what, this is a world marvel. This is something that people need to see.
Well, it's both, right? It's both a marvel of modern marketing and also the treasures and artworks held by specific countries in actual fact. And those countries then dictate which museums become the centers of attention. So for France, for instance, right? So let's take the French example. Mm-hmm. They have something called the Ministry of Culture. The Ministry of Culture would give a designation of a museum to a certain place in France or even outside of France at times, but now that has stopped. But they would then, after giving the designation, then one hype the place up and then also apply to either for it to become a UNESCO World Heritage Site or to become one of the seven wonders of the world. And now a new category is the seven modern wonders of the world. And so in doing that, the place then attracts a lot of media attention. The government itself hypes the place up, puts it in magazines, puts it in brochures, and makes travel agencies make it a destination to visit for people. That it's a must visit for people who are coming to visit the country as tourists. And so that is the mechanism in which you find these museums. But also in the background, you find that the artworks held by countries, so Britain and France, hold a lot of the world's artworks that were acquired in different means. One of the means in which they acquired the artworks that they have currently was in World War II.
Yeah.
France was a place in which a lot of Jewish artworks were held. So before the modern era banking, you used to be able to mortgage your art pieces as well. So if you had a rare piece of art in your house, you could mortgage it to the bank. They give you money and hold the art pieces. And so in the fall of the European banking system in World War II, they fell under the curatorship of the French government. And so, and in other ways, through colonialism, they went into places like North Africa and took works from Benin, from Egypt, from Somalia, from Ethiopia. And some of those works fall under the Africa exhibit of those museums. So a lot of ways in which you can fill the void that the marketing gives. So even if it's a marketing ploy, mm-hmm. then a lot of the legwork is done by the art held by the various countries too.
You know what? Maybe I can't help but bring in the politics of it, right? With what you were saying right now, you know, you mentioned the seven wonders of the world, and you mentioned also the modern wonders of the world and everything. And you also mentioned the issue of some of the significant art pieces that are a driving point for the tourism that gets the world, to look at these other Western countries. And what you've mentioned, some of those artifacts were actually actually acquired from the continent, from Africa. Now, the politics side of it is, you know, that whole thing of that whole conversation and attempt to bring some of these artifacts back to Africa. Do you think they would have the same draw card as they currently enjoy being in Western museums?
I think they would, and I think they would have a lot more draw when they were in their original context, right? But remember, there are a whole lot of politics. Funny enough, one of the ways in which the French Ministry of Culture makes money for the museums is to give the artworks on loan. So if you find the Benin bronzes in Benin, for instance, know that those Benin bronzes are not there because France is benevolent and is letting the people of Benin see their artwork. It's actually on loan, and Benin as a country has to pay France to have those in their possession. And so any museum from around the world can loan the artworks from the former colonial masters and have to pay them. And I think it's been a very large discussion to say, how do we return these artworks to the original countries? But remember, just like the colonies themselves, these are a source of a lot of revenue for the French coffers. And so I don't think they let go of them that easily, because their one excuse is that they're taking care of them and they would be left derelict in the countries of origin if they were allowed to go back. And so it's a big helter-skelter when it comes to that. But not just even the colonial era art pieces, right? In modern times, a lot of the struggle of museums to get art pieces is the struggle between them and the private collector, right? Private collectors who are very wealthy, have a lot of resources. So if we want to link even our discussion now to the robberies, if these robberies that happened in France, in the French museum, are actually the pieces are going to private collectors, it could be decades or even centuries out before we see them, because those people have so many resources. They wouldn't take the art for the sake of selling it off, but would take the art in order to have it themselves. And so there's a greed component between private collectors and museums too.
Okay, now this has the potential to be quite a lengthy conversation. We're going to leave it here. It's quite sad, though, that, you know, who determines what place becomes a place where it's a tourist attraction. You look at the country and some of the places like Mpumalanga, where they say that we could have pyramids, but in the academic community, it's not widely accepted. So again, the question remains, you know, who has that red pen and is marking and saying, yes, check, this place can be a tourist attraction. But we leave it here. Thank you so much, Lieto. Always appreciate you coming through and sharing the information with us, political analyst and lecturer Lieto Brika.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.